Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Does anybody do right? Sounds like today, doesn't it? Does anybody do right? We are seeing transition as Israel has gone from the leadership of David to Solomon to Rehoboam and now into a split kingdom. We see the root problem of all of this is sin. And hence the title of our last message, Here We Go Again. Because people are going to sin again and again and again, and welcome to then and now. We made an effort to emphasize the importance of knowing, living, understanding, appreciating that God is in control, even though it seems from our vantage point He's not in control. He is in control. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, and He uses these attributes in our lives. He is active in our lives. Folks, I do hope you're praying all the time, every day, meditating with God. He wants to hear your voice. These Old Testament stories illustrate the truths of Scripture. And we must apply ourselves to spirituality. We see Israel, God's people, in terrible, terrible condition because they did not tend to spirituality. Worse yet, the government leaders led them away from spirituality. Sad truth, isn't it? And our government is legislating things that ought not to be, and failing to legislate things that should be, and failing to exercise the laws that are already on the books. Well, does anybody do right? Simple outline, verses 1 through 6 of chapter 13, King Jeroboam and the man of God at the altar in Bethel. And then in verses 7 to 19, the man of God rejects the king's request, but he accepts the old prophet's request. And the third division is verses 20 through 34. The man of God is killed by a lion. And Jeroboam does not depart from his evil ways. This passage is giving us insights into the idolatrous worship of Jeroboam in the northern kingdom. It's giving us insights into the grace of God to restore Jeroboam's hand to health. We see the apostasy of an old prophet, and we see the vulnerability of a proud man who was a man of God. Does anybody do right? Let us remember, Bible stories illustrate Bible truths. Let us learn. Chapter 13, let us start at verse 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord. Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. If you remember, Jeroboam has set up two places of worship in the northern kingdom. We are in Bethel, one of those two places. And there is Jeroboam. He is offering incense at this place for idolatrous worship. And this man of God comes from Judah, which is kind of interesting. There's a split. God ordained it that he would give Jeroboam 10 tribes. He is the king. But a man of God comes from the country that he split from to correct him. I have to wonder if there wasn't a godly man in northern Israel, and he had to go to the southern tribe. Bethel, a place in central Palestine about 10 miles north of Jerusalem. It was included in Israel, the northern tribe, the northern kingdom, after the kingdom was divided and became one of the seats of worship of the golden calf. I want you to think about this now. If you look at a map, Bethel is only about 10 miles from Jerusalem. Now, why did Jeroboam set up the two places of worship? He really did it because he didn't want people going to Judah because he was afraid they weren't going to come back, they were going to be turned against him, and they were going to kill him. So he made up an excuse. 1 Kings 12:28. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem." 10 miles. Now, maybe to us, 10 miles sounds like a long walk, but when you walk all the time, 10 miles is probably nothing. He set up this place really pretty close to Jerusalem. Matter of fact, you would have to pass it to go to Jerusalem if you were up north. For him to say that Jerusalem was too far was only an excuse to prevent the people from going to Jerusalem to worship, where they may not return from. This man of God from Judah came to Jeroboam at Bethel as Jeroboam was actually offering incense to a golden calf. This man is not necessarily a Levite or priest. We'd only know that he is a man of God. And as we think about him, this man of God, think about what the northern tribe had. Chapter 12 of 1 Kings, verse 31. And he, Jeroboam, made a house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people. Well, at least we have a man of God sent to see him instead of these people that he put up as priests. This man of God, it tells us, was sent by God. We don't know anything about the calling. We don't know anything really about this man other than God called him and said, "Hey, get up there." Here is Jeroboam standing by the altar to burn incense. Is this not the way of someone in this condition? He has a show of spirituality, but he was very wrong. I mean, he did say, "These are thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And he had a place of worship, two of them. I don't see written anywhere there's a protest from the people of the northern kingdom against this idolatrous worship. I think we see here the tremendous decay in the spiritual condition of north and south of Israel. This man comes in verse 2 and he cries against the altar. "O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord." Listen, if the altar is warned and rebuked, how about the man who's in sin? I have to wonder if God had him speak to the altar, because it probably would be more profitable to talk to a stone altar than it would be to talk to Jeroboam. Verse 2 of chapter 13, "And he cried," this man of God cried against the altar and the word of the Lord, and said, "O altar, O altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David." This is what I want you to get. Now pay attention. "Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee," talking to the altar, "shall he offer the priests of the high places." He's going to put people on it and burn them. "And men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." Let's fast forward 350 years to 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 15. "Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both the altar and the high place he brake down, and burned the high place, and stamped it small to powder, and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and burned them upon the altar, and polluted it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed. Referring all the way back to where we are. 350 years later, God finally brought it to pass. God knows everything. God knows the future. God knows the past, the present. Do you realize how many people are going to suffer because of the sin of Jeroboam? The man of God came to Jeroboam while he was in the very act of offering incense. Personally, I think it's a strong rebuke, but I also think God's strong rebukes many times are merciful. And for him to be caught in the very act and to even be presented at all with his sin is merciful. God does want this man to succeed as he wanted Solomon to succeed, as he wants every person to succeed. Here this man comes in, and if Jeroboam will listen to the man of God, then he will be blessed, and so will the people of Israel. Oh, how it is so important that our government leaders do right. Chapter 13, verse 3. And he, this man of God, gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign. Now, the one sign is 350 years to come, and you say, well, that's not much of a sign. Well, it is to us. It did come to pass. But he says, I gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. Now, I really believe that God is really now putting his mark on this man of God. Jeroboam, do you think he's telling the truth? He just told you this altar is going to be split. The altar shall be rent, torn apart. Verse 4, and it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard this saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. Jeroboam, he just said the altar is going to split. And he points at Jeroboam and says, seize him. That tells me there's probably soldiers there with him. Lay hold on him, and his hand which he put forth against him dried up so that he could not pull it in again to him. Verse 5, the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar. According to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord, I believe what it's saying is 5 minutes ago. I think God did that as he does all miracles to verify the message of the messenger. This man is not just off the wall. He really is sent of me, and I am verifying now his words are from me. And that altar is rent, and the ashes poured out like he said it would. Not only that, now your hand is withered. Verse 6, the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat me now the face of the Lord thy God. Why not my God? And pray for me that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him again and became as it was before. This man of God went on a dangerous journey. We do think back that the tax collector went and he was stoned. This man goes and he's in the presence of the king and some of his bodyguards. And the king points at him and his hand withers. Now, God doesn't necessarily do that all the time, but I do know this. In times of trouble, God's there. I think some of you can probably share some stories when God, in the heat of the moment, the safest place for a person, a Christian, a believer to be is in the will of God. There is where he blesses. There is where he provides the resources. There is where he guides. I want you to think about this too. One man has just now stopped the king, and even his soldiers aren't coming to get him. I want us to remember as this one man went up there, that's all God needed. Rehoboam wanted to take an army. God sent one man. One man stopped the army from going up and starting war with Jerusalem. Shemaiah called of God, and he said to Rehoboam, don't fight with the northern kingdom. And the king listened miraculously. One man stopped a war. Oh, the power if we would only do what God wants us to do. The truth is, Jeroboam's wrath was ultimately toward God, but he vented his anger on the man that God sent. Have you ever suffered the wrath of somebody who's angry at God and they take it out on you? Possibly so, maybe not. Jeroboam is not mad so much at the people. He is at God, although he's not admitting it. I want you to get this. Jeroboam's hand did not wither due to his idolatrous deeds, but rather when he raised his hand against God's chosen messenger. You're not going to hurt him. He's doing my will. It is the safest place to be. And if God wants you to be burned at the stake, as he has some Christians, you'll be burned at the stake and God will see you through that too. And sometimes he'll deliver you. God is trying to get this man's attention. Consider the two miracles. First, Jeroboam's hand withered, and he could not retract it. This was and is still a warning to respect God's people. But the other miracle here is the altar. No sooner was pretty much it was spoken, and it happened. See, God wants people to change. Jeroboam, let me give you proof this man is truly from me trying to help you. God is working in this man who's in great sin. Think about the recent activities of Jeroboam. He rebelled against Rehoboam. He set up idols. He tried to seize the man of God. His hand withered. He asked for prayer. But he asked for prayer to be healed, not to be forgiven. Did you notice that? He didn't cry out, I have sinned. He cried out, heal my hand. And remember, God's priorities, salvation of souls, spiritual growth, and creature comforts. And sometimes God takes away our creature comforts to get our attention for spiritual matters. God can inflict infirmities and he can take them away. This is certainly not meant to mean that all infirmities are the result of sin. They're not. But it might be. God elected to heal his hand because of the prayer of the man of God. The power of prayer. Illustrated for us. The healing was not a result of Jeroboam's obedience or righteousness. He has not confessed. He has not forsaken. It was because of the mercy of God. Jeroboam, I'm trying to get your attention. Would you listen? You have to wonder what these soldiers are thinking. Lay hold on him. And his hand shriveled. No, thank you. Did you know only Jeroboam could really protect himself from the wrath of God by doing right? Yeah, the man of God could pray for him. But ultimately, Jeroboam, you're the guy in sin. And yes, God right now is working through me, but until you get yourself right, you can expect a whole lot more problems. Verse 7, and the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, drink no water, nor turn in again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. His business must have lasted very few moments, not too long. And he turned and he went back a different way than he came. We're not told why. We're told, though, he had some instructions, don't eat bread, don't drink water, don't turn away, don't go the same way. Why, I don't know. And he is now returning. We have to think about this. This man of God came to help. God ordained that. But what did he say? The king says, come back to my house. Well, okay, he wasn't supposed to eat. He wasn't supposed to drink. But why did he have to give such a harsh answer? Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. God is trying to reach Jeroboam. And he says, come to my house. Now, he said, look at verse 8. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For it was charged me, saying, eat no bread, drink no water, nor turn again, and also be obnoxious in your method. God didn't tell him to be obnoxious. God told him to go up there and speak truth. I will work. I will bless. Here God is trying to do a good work, and he's offending Jeroboam. Oh, Christian, don't do that. Even if you give me half your house, I won't go with you. Was that necessary? God didn't ask for your opinion. God asked for you to stay on the matter at hand. We're seeing a lot of pride in this man. Now, isn't that sad? Let's see. Solomon was wrong. Rehoboam was wrong. Jeroboam's wrong. Now the man of God's wrong. What's this? Does anybody do right? I mean, this man's going to die. In one moment, the man of God ruined his testimony. Did you know, at least I cannot find any record in Scripture that Jeroboam ever looked to God in the future. It's even remembered 350 years later because of the sin of that altar of Jeroboam. Now, did Jeroboam have a right to disobey? Well, because he was a jerk, so therefore I don't have to do this. No. Even if somebody speaks the truth in harsh words, and it's God's words, it may not be the best delivery, but it's still to be heeded. Case in point. Go back to school in your high school days, and you come home and you tell your parents, that math teacher is a real jerk. Now, the math teacher might be a jerk, but math is still a valid subject and you need to learn it. Okay. People in Christianity will disappoint you. But is it still valid? Don't take it out on God and His Word. Well, I'm going to throw a temper tantrum. This man of God had an opportunity. God had just worked mightily through him. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Paul says this, give no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Don't do anything that would hinder the ministry here. If I drive down the road, you cut in front of me, and I honk and shake my fist, it's not a good thing. There's a bigger picture than me. Chapter 13, verse 9, for so it was charged by me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water. Why couldn't he just peacefully say that? No, God does not want me to eat or drink. I must go. I have to return. I wouldn't eat with you. In verse 10, so he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. But pride is great in this man. Chapter 13, we're going to read these verses to kind of show you where it's going, and we'll pick up here next week. 1 Kings 13:11. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said to his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon and went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, no, go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. Why was he calmly saying those words to this man who shows up on a donkey, but he had to speak the same words harshly to the king? Verses 18 and 19, and we'll stop. And he said unto him, I am a prophet as thou art. And the angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and he did eat bread in his house and drank water. And there we will pick up next week.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.